Thank you all for joining this week's Citizens Climate University, a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight we're going to join CCL group leaders who've been innovating with how their chapter is conducting outreach and recruitment right now in the online era. We'll hear from CCL leaders who have been innovating with social get-togethers, such as happy hours, climate conversations, watch parties, along with other leaders that have found ways to table and host climate conversations, as well as build coalitions within their community. So I also encourage, again, for those that are just jumping on, feel free to bring your ideas, your experiences, your suggestions. We were starting to talk a little bit about that before we started this, the top of the hour, but you can continue to share in the chat with the suggestions that you even come tonight really wanting to learn and share. And we have the benefit of the wisdom of the crowds to learn with what's worked for other groups to stay creatively connected and engage in online outreach during the pandemic. So with that, I think it's going to be a pretty straightforward agenda. We're going to start with a little bit of background. We're then going to focus first on the small and then build out from there. So just having a general climate conversation on Zoom, that's great outreach. We're going to hear directly from CCL Arkansas member Michael Cooper on that. Then we're going to get into a concept called speed tabling, which the action teams that were part of CCL's December conference perfected. Todd Elvins is going to give us a review of that. And then we're going to learn from CCL Maryland and all of the wonderful work that Sabrina, Abby, Ren, Cliff, Olivia, Sydney, that whole team, you'll hear from them in just a little bit about what they organized, which was called an Eco-Org Palooza way back right around Earth Day last year. And then we'll also think about how you can use Zoom right now while we're still stuck not doing in-person tabling to have a film screening online. And we'll learn specifically from our CCL Hawaii chapters for that. So with that, let's just jump right in with some ideas on effective Zoom outreach. And essentially what I really would love to start with is just considerations for your group, what feels like the right fit. After tonight, do not feel like you need to swing for the fences and go for the biggest event at first. If it doesn't feel like the right first step, feel free to start small and really brainstorm and build out from some of these original ideas and really kind of continue to create and innovate with what might fit with your group. It's also a great opportunity for you to engage your chapter, especially members that may not have been as active lately, in brainstorming what are ways that they think you can effectively reach out to your community right now. A lot of other groups, as we'll hear from in these interviews, are trying to struggle through and think through how they can connect in the online era right now too. So you coming into your community and offering this way to connect and stitch people together is often a great opportunity to do that outreach, not only for you, but other groups that you can partner with. And then we also want to think through how you can build a structure that leverages both some of your veteran leaders with some of the new volunteers that are coming in and bringing fresh energy with your team. All of these different approaches have ways that they can highlight and we'll learn from as we go through with tonight's training. So let's start small, and not small in terms of impact, but small in terms of the number of people involved with needing to set this first idea off. And that is simply having climate conversations on a one-to-one level and opening up your own Zoom room to whoever might be interested in finding out. There's certainly a lot of great approaches out there. One that we've had that we'd love to highlight tonight is from Michael Cooper in Arkansas. And he's going to give us a little 3-minute interview about what he's been doing in his community in Arkansas. And I'll let Michael take it away from there.
I'm Mike Cooper. I'm from Russellville, Arkansas. And I got into CCL because I'm retired and I just wanted to do something and keep vital and keep active. And the first thing that came to my mind was work on climate change. So I've been concerned about it for a long time. I've been not really mad about it or anything else because I was too busy working and making a living and such. I'm just pretty much a blue collar worker, technician type, and it's been quite a journey. Okay, and we used to have a mayor here in Russellville that would go to one of our local restaurants on a Tuesday, and he would have a breakfast with the mayor. So you can go talk to him about any of the subjects that you had on your mind, any of the issues, a road project, drainage project, something like that. You know, he was ready to listen to you. And he just wanted to meet you face to face. So I got that kind of in my mind is we ought to do something about that. So I, at our meeting, I brought this up and everybody goes, oh yeah, that's great. I could be coffee with Cooper. And so that's why I kind of got all this started. I've just got a Zoom room set up and I call it Coffee and Climate Conversation with Cooper. We need people at every level. And even if all they're doing is writing letters and phone calls, you know, we just need that. And I'm on Facebook and I put it out on Facebook, and I've also and I don't have a huge friend base there, but it's starting to get reposted and stuff like that. You know what would be great would be some of the larger chapters. I live in a rural area, small town, you know, rural area. But some of the larger chapters, if they can get three or four people together and do a discussion room once a month, just let's have a Zoom discussion room and invite everybody we can think of to it and post it on our social media. And, you know, and you can set it up like you would set up a house party. I just want to reiterate that what this room is about climate conversation and just getting out there somehow. Okay, Zoom is what we got right now. Facebook and YouTube, things like that is what we've got. We've got the virtual world right now, and we ought to be using it. And if it's big and successful, fine. If it's not, fine. And the other thing is the room is about whatever the visitor needs to talk about climate-wise, because I'm ready to build some bridges. And that's what this is about.
So that's a great little sample. And again, there's a lot in there. We can unpack it, especially during Q&A, but things that really stood out to me were that Michael saw a need in his community. And even though he maybe wasn't the most comfortable or well-versed in a lot of the setup, he went into his comfort zone. He started having these conversations one-on-one, small group by small group in his community, and it's really helped break that spiral of silence in Russellville area. So one thing that we also want to make sure to highlight, as Michael highlighted, if you do share this on social media, you want to make sure that you're not just directly sending people the Zoom link. You actually want to make sure that you're either sending them a link to a registration form or to a page where they do have to sign in so that any kind of crawlers online aren't going to scrape that Zoom ID and immediately have anyone show up that's a bad actor. But there's certainly a lot of ways that we can do that, and we can highlight that in the chat. With discussion. But the key thing again here is thinking about where you're at in your community, and even starting from a small one-on-one basis. I think Michael's example is a great little prompt to think creatively on all of our own outreach if we're inspired by this, or if you have somebody in your group that really wants to try to innovate and experiment with this, a really great way to get the conversation started where you live. So next up, we're going to have a chance to listen to Todd. Todd Elvins is CCL's action coordinator. And in supporting all 58 plus of our action teams, Todd has been able to really distill a lot of the wisdom of what's worked for our action teams, focus groups throughout CCL that are working on a particular sector, moving that area forward on supporting effective policy like carbon fee and dividend, and what's brought people in their outreach to outside of CCL groups alone. So he's gonna focus on a couple of techniques that those teams have really innovated, as well as their experience in the December conference in their action team fair, where if you were probably also a part of this, you got a chance to be a part of a 5-minute little window and a pitch to get involved. So I'll let Todd take it from here.
I'm Todd Elvins. I'm CCL's action coordinator. I'm based in San Diego. And I want to just talk a little bit about online recruiting for action teams. We have 57 online action teams at CCL, and they spend a lot of time thinking about recruitment and engagement of members, getting members engaged and getting them, getting new members and getting the members engaged and taking action. Under recruitment, they do recruitment in three main ways. The action teams will often have interesting speakers and topics on their team calls, which might be monthly or bi-monthly or quarterly, and they advertise those calls in all the usual ways, in email, sometimes a monthly newsletter, calendar events, forums, social media, and with outside ally organizations. Another way that action teams do recruitment is they celebrate accomplishments and successes in the CCL blog, in the site-wide forums on community, in their social media, with ally organizations, and sometimes even with local newspapers and magazines. That's a good way to get the word out about their activity and to recruit new members. Another way that action teams do recruitment, and we've only done this once, we had an action team fair at the December 5th conference. There were 37 action teams. They were each on their own Zoom line, and they had advertising in the program, so all the conference attendees could just pop into a Zoom line for 5 minutes, learn about an action team, and if they're interested, just join the team right then and there. So you might think of this in your online recruiting as a kind of an Ecopalooza, where you invite everyone in your community and local ally organizations to all pop into a Zoom line that you're on and learn about what you're doing. And if they want to, they can just sign up right then and there. And we learned a lesson during our action team fair that you gotta have a way to sign up right then and there. Some of them weren't quite ready for that. They could sign up immediately by putting their email in the chat. They could have a Google form. They could put the link in the chat to the group so they could go to the group and click the join button right then and there. But be sure to have an easy way to join right then and there. And the final lesson was to keep it short. 5 minutes of presentation, 5 minutes for questions. Boom, you're in. You learn about what's going on. You make a decision to join or not, and you're done. All right, thanks. Back to you, Brett.
So Todd's whole idea about Ecopaloozas really was built on another chapter or another group of chapters in Maryland. They did a wonderful job this last summer in getting ready for what they called the Eco-Org Palooza. And here is a little timeline of their schedule. You can see all of the videos and the 9 different groups that were engaged in this tabling fair. I will put in the chat where you can find all of their organizing principles. And at this point, definitely feel free to reach out as well afterwards to Sabrina. I'll put her email in the chat too. But let's hear directly from Sabrina and the rest of her crew about what was effective and how they set up that Maryland Ecopalooza.
I'm Olivia. I am part of the Howard County chapter with Sabrina. I'm her co-leader.
So I'm Abby. I'm the leader of the Salisbury University chapter.
I'm Ren. I'm the group leader for Baltimore, the Baltimore chapter. And I've been at CCL since 2017.
You know, we were all stuck in with COVID and people really miss like getting to know other people. And we got enough interest from people like Livia and Ren and Sydney and Cliff that we talked about the idea like we can have like a reverse tabling event was what we, you know, settled upon as one of the big ideas, that instead of people coming to the table, we basically bring the tables to you, right? And then if you want to talk to those people at those tables, you could go and talk further with them and seeing if it took with a critical mass of people. And then once it took, we got together and brainstormed about what groups we could reach out to. And so we sort of divided, you know, which groups we would reach out to. And then it was a really great way to get to know other organizations. And I don't remember, we must have had like 5 different meetings. Cliff was really patient because I think Cliff was the one person that was in every single meeting because he was the one who does the Zoom, right? So he needed to meet them all. But we tried to meet as much of the team with the people who we're working with because especially at that time, they didn't really understand what we were doing. So I think it was generally a bonding experience with groups that we didn't know anything about.
And I think one of the things that impressed me from the beginning is that Sabrina really focused this, that like, in order for this to be a good experience for the people we asked to come, to the participants, that we had to have the technology under control. And I think she really had a good grasp of the importance of, you know, the person speaking can't control the chat. And we need to be thinking ahead to do the breakout rooms, because if you try to do it last minute, people are sitting there twiddling their thumbs. So let's remind people throughout the entire thing, start putting numbers when you've decided who you want to go. You need to understand the technology piece, because then the day of, I really could see the benefit of the participants, that they, the seamless experience that they had, that I think made everybody look better.
In the beginning, we kind of just threw out a whole bunch of names of organizations that we could possibly work with. And then I think as we reached out to them, we kind of got like a feel of who would actually be interested, who could actually commit to it. So like there was a few that were too busy, and like that was totally okay, because we had backup and we knew that the people that were committing were committed, and that they could get those videos to us, because we did it in like the form of videos before they went into their breakout rooms, that they could get those videos to us on time, so that we would, if we encountered any like technical problems with the format or anything, we could fix that before.
If everybody was told, I forget, it's like 3 minute video, and some people ran a little more than 3 minutes, but the fact that we controlled the videos and they could do a 20 second introduction, to the video, that made that timing so much easier. Because it's sort of hard to cut people off on Zoom, though I'm getting better at it, but we didn't want like people to just go on and on. We had 9 organizations, right? And that's a lot to juggle.
And also we just wanted to spotlight the local ones, organizations in our area, but we did have some like quote unquote like national organizations, but we made sure that they had chapters that were nearby or something, because we wanted the attendees to be able to actually get involved in it after COVID, as well as like beforehand. People like members of the public who want to get involved in climate change, but they kind of feel like paralyzed by it and they don't really know where to start, they could come and they could figure out what exactly they can do. And then it makes it seem a little bit easier to tackle if they get those specific things. And then we made sure to have like a wide range of types of organizations, because there's so many different types.
One thing that I thought was pretty unique and cool about this event was that we sort of had 3 different sections of activity going on. First being, of course, the videos and the presentations from each of the organizations. Second being the breakout rooms where you could go and meet and talk to those organizations. And then third, having sort of a reflection period where people came back and sort of said things that they learned or sort of actions that they would take, and sort of a reflection on what happened in their breakout rooms, which I thought having that sort of progression of learning, speaking to, and then like reflecting on it was probably very useful for people wanting to get involved. So I thought that sort of structure was really great for the event.
Yeah, I think that structure was absolutely key. And so if you're curious, again, like Olivia highlighted there at the very end, the basic premise was people were invited to attend, they had a general introduction, and then the team had already gotten pre-submitted videos from each of the different organizations that were invited so that they could stay on time and on script. Every organization had about 30 seconds to introduce themselves or by one of the CCL volunteers. And then they cycled between all those videos with the Zoom host playing and sharing those like we're doing tonight. And then they had the breakouts based on people's interests. While those videos were going on, people indicated what breakout they wanted to attend to learn more about with their name change. And the host was assigning people based on that in the breakout rooms correspondingly. And after the breakouts ended, people came back to the main room to reflect and share and really be inspired for action and engagement with whatever group they were involved in. Now, especially with Zoom's evolution, there's a lot more opportunities for us even 6 months, 9 months later, to have multiple tablings, where you can go between rooms, where you could have people self-select if they have the most recent version downloaded themselves into a variety of these. You could cycle like we've done with our own action teams between multiple rounds of 5 to 10 minute pitches so that people can bounce between more than one topic. And I think the other key thing is just helping people, whether it's through the direct technical host or all the instructions that you're giving as well, for those that don't have that most recent version downloaded, still knowing how to indicate how they want to be assigned, because we're in this hybrid period right now where Zoom allows you, if you have the most recent version, to go between rooms yourself if you open up the breakout rooms, but not everyone might know how to do that or might not come prepared having already downloaded the recent version. So that is a great, great example, and one that we are going to be innovating actually in our Earth Day activities throughout throughout the whole country, really. But what I'd love to do is just close with one last example, and that is leveraging a film as another form of outreach and really being able to invite people to a panel or just a straight up film screening, and having that be another way that you can engage your larger community with generating an activity or an outreach event. And so to really understand the goals and the planning and the details and motivation behind this example of a film screening, the CCL Hawaii chapters organized of The Burden, all let their leaders, Susan and Paul and Noel, as well as George, Chip, and Jamin and Sarah, will take it from here and really walk through their narrative.
I was attending virtually a Hawaii conference, and I saw Roger Sorkin on the second day. Roger Sorkin from 9:15 to 10 was showing some clips from his videos, and I really thought it was such a good idea that he was specifically telling the story of the military and how they were, you know, acknowledging of climate change, what they were doing. And I just thought it was a really fresh approach, and that it was maybe a good way to broach the subject, especially here in Hawaii. We have a lot of military. That's one of the major, you know, industries here. And so I kind of got inspired by that. And, you know, in the beginning, we thought we'd be back to doing things live in a few months. Like, we were also, I think, considering another documentary, because we had done a real good one live in the fall of 2019, a documentary at Manoa Library. And I think we were struggling with, okay, we'll just put this off. You know, when we can meet again, we'll do a live documentary and a screening. And then it looks like I'm looking at July 15th, 2020, our Zoom meeting, and kind of occurred to us that, you know what, we're doing this on Zoom. Maybe we could do The Burden on Zoom.
Yeah, we met with him in February, and I think it was you, Susan, who suggested the idea of having the representative participate. At that time, I'm not sure if we considered whether it would be, you know, he'd be part of a panel or give some introductory remarks and some background about what the military has been doing. But I think we saw this as an opportunity to, in CCL's words, move him up the ladder towards support of HR 763. And I guess the other thing to your question, Brett, would be, I think we saw it as a way to build bridges, again, using CCL terminology, between the military and the environmental community, knowing that often they seem to be at odds or don't recognize that they're often fighting for the same things. And so we saw this event as an opportunity to try to bring both sides together and have them recognize that they have a common goal here.
I was invited to assist with the technology, essentially as a backup, to ensure that you know, there's continuity as far as the facilitation of the Zoom process. And success, you know, some of the things that I think is our best practices would be to ensure that that there is a backup, right? We had an individual who was primary, and he was not able to for a number of reasons, and I was able to step in. So having a backup and ensuring that both parties are involved in the practice sessions, I thought help to ensure that the program went smoothly. And you know, I wanted to just jump back to the previous question about an individual or personal goal in participating with the event, and that is to establish a practice within our various chapters as far as facilitation of virtual events go, as a way to maximize reach. It's very different from having an in-person. At the same time, we're able to reach many, many, many more people. And if we're able to do that efficiently and effectively each time, you know, I think we'll be more successful as a group.
And I would just second what Paul said, and getting the webinar, that's something that in the future, and having a connection through the East-West Institute. I reached out to a list of over 300 people to invite. Some of them were from local organizations we work with, and then my nationwide list for the nationwide climate security team was 284 people that got the action alert. So the fact that we ended up with over 300 registrants, that was a big factor in having the East-West Institute provide that connection. And Jamin to do so much of the technical coordination was very important.
Thank you so much for sharing a little window into a big project and a great example. The CCL chapters have said if you're interested in finding out more, they'd love to be in touch, and I'll make sure to put a link where you can find all of their details, including their flyers, their email outreach templates, their planning document, in the liner notes. All say that this is the same for all of these resources we've highlighted tonight. Please feel free to investigate the speaker notes from the slide deck, as well as the liner notes on this training, where you can find out more information behind all of these. But it's just a wonderful example of really highlighting this approach of planning a high leverage event with a featured panel. They still built in time at the end to educate about CCL and have a call to action. They even invited their member of Congress's office to attend, especially with a four-star general and other esteemed military and national security experts on the panel. And for all those interested, CCL has a wonderful resource for film screening guides with at least seven other different films that you're more than welcome to contact and find out more about and coordinate. We'll make sure to put a link to that in the chat as well. It is just whenever and however you set this up, a couple of key recommendations in just closing before we open it up for our own brainstorm. You want to make sure in that conversation to not only engage in some kind of education or dialogue, but also to translate that into action and really capture whoever you are recruiting and engaging with your outreach event to take that next step in being a climate advocate and calling or writing Congress, signing up for our Call to Congress monthly campaign, getting active with your next local monthly meeting, you name it. Never let an opportunity like that go to waste. You wanna make sure to set up a debrief with your team afterwards as well, so that you can really clarify and help even build out a more successful event next time. And also make sure that that action that you've taken is logged in our action tracker, so you can get credit and highlight the good work that you're doing. And I'd also venture on whatever your role might be, please share your experience in the forums too. We'd love to learn and continue to highlight what's been working for chapters around the country. And with that third bullet, again, these are four examples. You may be listening tonight and thinking, oh, I'd like to kind of try some of column A and some of column B and kind of stack together your own event. There's by no means one perfect approach right now. We're all figuring out online outreach in this era. And so as you continue to be creative, we want to hear from you. And we also, again, want to name it's okay to start small. So a successful event in terms of outreach and recruitment doesn't need to hit a 50 new person metric. It doesn't even need to hit a 10 new person metric. Whatever works well for your group is going to be a success. And so make sure, again, to right size your expectations and celebrate whatever achievement you're really able to unlock with your event. And if you have any questions in all ahead, please feel free to reach out. Definitely can't share enough about how important it is to share on the forums. So as you experiment, we'd love to hear what's working, what you're bumping into, to need clarification. But for the sake of tonight, thank you all so very much for being here. It's so good to see you, especially these days, and continue to be safe out there, everyone. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.